Good evening and welcome to SCL, the Subject Composition and Light Photography Podcast. My name's Rob from robinonphoto.com and this is my little audio diary about my journey through the wonderful world of photography. Well, hello everybody, hope everybody's had a great week. Oh, we've just had a long day. It's Sunday, the 6th of November here in Gosport in the UK, and unfortunately on, was it last night? Yesterday, Oliver managed to damage his toe. It's Friday night, managed to damage his toe. We didn't realise how serious it was until we went into our local walk-in centre in Gosport where they x-rayed his toe, and he had a really nasty break, so he had to go into our big hospital around here, which is the QA in Portsmouth, where they operated on his foot today and patched everything up. But he's been sent home and he's upstairs watching TV, so he'll be off school for a couple of weeks while he kind of recovers from that. There we go, probably his first kind of serious BMXing accident, but I'm pretty sure it won't be the last. Well, what sort of things am I going to talk about this week? First up, I think I've just been checking out the Flickr Photo group for the Film Photography Podcast. If you don't listen to it already, I know I've talked about it in the past, but the Film Photography Podcast, even if you're not into film photography, it's worth listening to, it's worth subscribing to, because it's loads of fun. You'll learn the odd thing, and the guys are passionate about what they do and how they do it. And it's not about the money, it's not about the kit, it's just about enjoying photography and the more of the analogue side of it. But there was a thread about a new Lomo camera, and as I've been onto the Lomography site, called the Lomo Kino, and it just kind of goes to show how analog photography, film photography isn't dead. The Lomo Kino is a brand new camera that the Lomography Society, the Lomography company, have come up with, which is actually a movie camera that uses 35mm film spools. I mean, you probably know already that motion pictures, moving pictures, started off and still are shot on 35mm film. I think it's 35mm film that we put in our cameras is half frame compared to the movie stuff, I think. I'm not an expert on this, but Lomo have come up with the Lomo Kino, which uses ordinary film, 35mm, you know, anything from colour to black and white to slide film to whatever you want, and you can shoot small, you know, short movies with it. Absolutely amazing that they've come up with this device. I think it's about £65 to buy. And not only is the little camera where you can shoot these short movies, no sound of course, just moving pictures, then there's also a little viewer that you can buy to go with it, which enables you to watch the movies back. So it's like a completely manual, a completely analog workflow from shooting the film to looking at it. Obviously, you could digitize the images and put them into video editing software will create stop motion films really simply. So you would just stack up the images, load them into the software, and it would come up with a short movie. So you could do that as well. And I just thought it was really exciting, the fact that often when you listen to read some media or listen to some podcasts, new cameras will come out and people will say, oh, you know, what's the point of this? And I'm talking about digital or film here. And they say, oh, you know, why have they brought out another model? It's so similar to the old one. It's only this and this that's different. But I would say turn it on its head. Imagine what it would be like if there were no new cameras coming out at all, no new films, no new accessories or printers or anything like that. How stale and boring the world would be, especially in photography. You know, our art and our hobby is built on innovation and change and different things, companies and people trying different things and coming up with different ideas that help us to see the world in a different way and capture the world in a different way. And I think that for the Lomography Society to come up with this moving camera that uses film is brilliant. I probably won't buy one, but you know, what fun, hey, what fun to do something like that. Well, before we talk about our main subject tonight, a quick word from our sponsors, GoToMeeting, sponsors of the SCL Photography Podcast, specifically GoToMeeting with HD Faces. GoToMeeting is a conference call software where you can invite people to a conference call, whether they might be people in the same company, they might be a colleague, they could be potential clients all over the world. And you can get all together on a video conference call on your computers, where you're all seeing, or they're all seeing your desktop. So you can show them a presentation, you can show them the sales pitch, you can show them the designs for the new building or the plans for the new product. And now with HD Faces, you can have crystal clear video conferencing as well, so everybody can see each other. And what this means is you not only save money because you're not traveling to places with various expenses, but also your meetings are a lot more productive because everybody's taking part, because they can see what's going on and they can feel that they're adding to the experience as a whole. Try it for free. Just visit the URL gotomeeting.com, press the try it free button, and enter the promo code podcast. So that's go to the URL gotomeeting.com, click on the try it free button, and then enter the promo code podcast. Try it free for 30 days, and if you like it, become a subscriber. So, main kind of little chat tonight. It's going to be a short podcast because I'm feeling a little bit tired, but main thing is style and spot metering, or maybe it'll be spot metering and style, because I think I'll start off with spot metering. And when I say spot metering, I could really just refer to it as subject metering. And this is the idea of thinking about how our cameras work out the exposure for a particular scene that's in front of them, why it changes, and how maybe one of the things we could do if we want to improve our exposures, or especially with colour, improve our colour rendition in our photographs, is understand that perhaps what we could do is set our exposure based on our subject and then leave it at that. And you may say, well, what are you talking about, Rob? What does it matter? I just have my camera on a matrix metering and it takes great pictures almost all of the time. And then I can use exposure compensation to lighten or darken it. And that's true. Most of the time it will work. But how about this? Imagine, okay, and there's lots of examples of how, but let's say you're taking a picture of a person. All right, and they're running around in a field, on a field. Let's say it's a sports day, and you're taking a picture of your kid, and they're running around on a field, and it's just a normal sunny day. But as they're running around the field, the background's changing because they're running in front of buildings, trees, and the open sky, for example. So as you're tracking them around with your camera, and they're going, say, in front of the open sky, the scene in front of the camera gets brighter. And so what the camera does is it darkens everything down slightly, because that's what they do, because they're looking for 18% grey roughly. I know in matrix metering mode they're taking a lot of other things into account, but they'll darken everything down. So your little boy or little girl will become a little bit darker and the colours will change. And yet if all of a sudden they run in front of a building, the camera will go, wait a minute, everything's got a little bit darker. And then it will lighten everything, and so your little boy, little girl will suddenly, and the colours as well, will suddenly become a little bit lighter. And so when you look at these photographs, the actual exposure on your subject, your kid, will have changed, even though they haven't changed, because the light on them is constant. But they are getting lighter or darker because the background is. So one of the things you could do is simply take an exposure off them, you know, average exposure. So basically, what does that mean? Well, turn your camera to spot metering, where the camera only looks right in the middle of the photo. Put that over them. Look at the reading. Go to manual mode and say it's, I don't know, f16 at 1/250th of a second or something like that. And then just leave it at that. And then as they're running around, what will happen is the exposure on them, the way they look, will always be the same. And all it will be the background will be getting lighter or darker. Another example of that would be, say you were taking pictures of birds flying along. And so you're tracking this bird as it's flying along. And let's say, I think the example, I don't know if it's Scott Bourne uses as an example or it's Martin Bailey in one of his podcasts. But say it's a white crane, okay, big bird, and it's flying along. and it's flying across the sky. And so you point your camera at the bird, it's flying across a bright blue sky, and the camera goes, "Whoa, this is a little bit too bright." And so it darkens everything down. And so the crane doesn't look white, it looks grey. And then the crane is then flying past some trees. The camera goes, "Oh, this is a lot darker, brightens everything that out." And all of a sudden, the crane becomes brilliantly white, and you lose all the detail on it. Now, in reality, the exposure on that crane, the crane itself, the bird itself, is always the same. It's just the background is changing. So if you set your exposure for the bird itself, i.e. the subject, then you wouldn't have this problem of the exposure of the bird getting too bright or too dark and becoming unrealistic or moving away from what we would want as what we would think is a good exposure. Once you start thinking about this, there's all sorts of examples of where maybe what we should do is be taking one reading off our subject and sticking with it until the light significantly changes. So maybe some clouds come over, or we move into shadow or something like that. And it's a way that we can explore the light and explore our photography in much different way, in a much different way than we have before, when we've been relying on our camera's automatic exposure settings. So there we go, something to try. Maybe when you're going out and doing some night photography, the photography for the Flickr Photo Group assignment, have a go at just taking an exposure for your subject and in manual mode on your camera, and then just leaving it at that and not letting the camera change the exposure, because the background is getting lighter and darker, when in fact your subject is still being lit under the same light. Give it a go, see what happens. The next thing I want to talk about and finish off with tonight is the idea of style. And linked in with that, the idea of keeping with it and trusting your work and trusting what you do. Because one of the more common questions you hear on podcasts and in magazines is, how do I develop a style? What do you have to do to make your photos and your photographs and your images distinctive? Because many of the great photographers, all the famous photographers that we know, you can kind of, there's a theme running, or there's a style running through their photographs. If you were to say someone like Henri Cartier-Bresson, or David Bailey, or Rankin, sort of the new fashion photographers. You can look at their pictures, and as long as you've looked at enough of their pictures, you could say, "Oh yeah, that's one of theirs. That's an Annie Leibovitz kind of thing." So how can I develop a style? And how do I know my photography is any good in the first place? And this is something I struggle with quite a lot. I don't consider myself, a good photographer. I would just consider myself, I'm a guy who goes out and takes photographs of things that catch my eye, and hopefully some of them are okay. And one of the ways that I edit myself, so I'm producing some of my better work, is I kind of have a two-stage editing process. The first thing is I obviously go out and I take lots and lots of photographs, and I only upload a certain number to Flickr that I think are okay. And then of those photographs, normally a few days later, after I've had time for them to sink in, the ones that I think are better than the rest will then get added to my Flickr best of slideshow. And I'll put a link in the show notes to it so you can see. And so I've got a lot of photographs on Flickr, but I've got a lot less photographs in my Flickr slideshow, which you can look at. And that kind of defines me, what I think are my best sort of photographs. And whenever I'm feeling a little bit like, "Oh, where am I going with my photography? Am I getting any better? Or is what I have done any good?" I will look on my Flickr slideshow, which is the photographs that I think are good, and I'll just sit there and watch it for 5 minutes or 10 minutes. And that kind of reinforces the fact that I think, yeah, actually some of these photographs are all right. I am going in the right direction. And what I do find is that as I've sort of been taking lots of photographs over the last few years, there is a certain look to many of my photographs. And I think I am probably starting to develop a style. I probably couldn't put into words what that style is. Maybe a little bit black and white. Maybe I'm moving towards less detailed images. Obviously, there's been lots of film, and that's kind of influenced things that way. I think in the answer to is to how do you develop your own style? It's take a lot of photographs, edit a lot of your photographs. So look at them and think, well, which are the good ones, and which ones aren't so good, and choosing them and separating them. And that natural editing process in your brain as you go through your own photographs, that act of picking the ones that you really like, will be unconsciously, or maybe consciously too, picking out the ones that fit the type of style that you want to do. I'm not saying don't look at your work critically and think how could you get better, or even stick to something once you find out, say you're always shooting black and white, but then obviously you want to start shooting color as well. But what I am saying, I think naturally, over time, over the months, over the years, you will find yourself, and you won't be able to do much to stop it, I don't think. I think your style develops and it becomes part of you and your photography. It's probably already in yourself already, and the images that you create are your style, and they will suddenly, but you might not even see the style yourself, but other people will be able to say, all right, yeah, that's your style. And that just comes from time and taking lots and lots of photographs and editing those photographs. I don't mean going into Photoshop or going into Darkroom. I mean as in choosing the ones that you like the best, and then sharing them perhaps with other people, but having them in other sets as well. So that's my answer to how do you develop style. Take lots of photographs, choose the best photographs that appeal to you, and you will then find that there is a style appearing amongst those photographs. But I don't know, what do you think? You can always email me, scalespeeder@gmail.com. That's scalespeeder@gmail.com. You can go to the Flickr group and start a thread. Just go to flickr.com, join, it's free. Find the robnonphoto.com Flickr group and add a new discussion. You can go to the robnonphoto.com blog, find the show notes, notes to this particular show or any of the notes, and just add to the comments at the bottom, and I'll get them that way. Because it'd be really interesting for other people to get in contact and discuss with me, how do you develop style? What is a photographic style? Is it something that's artificial, or is it something that develops over time? Well, thanks again to everybody for taking part in the Flickr Photo Group. Thanks to everybody for uploading their images to the pool. It's fantastic. Thanks to everybody for commenting on the blog. You may well notice that I've been doing a lot more on the blog recently. I'm trying to do more posts, lots of little short and hopefully pithy posts as I go along, rather than just waiting for to do these major sort of reviews and things once or twice a month. And finally, thanks to you for downloading and listening to the podcast. Without you guys and girls, I couldn't carry on, because it's just an honor to be able to talk to everybody every week in this manner. And thanks to you for listening. My name is Rob from robnonphoto.com, and hopefully pretty soon I'll see you on Flickr.